Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook, or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your host, Letitia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and I am so excited to have this conversation because our pre-record talk was like fire. So, Jeremy, welcome, and why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you so much. So, my name is Jeremy Rodriguez. I am a mental wealth life coach that's dedicating his life to end human suffering and end people from settling from those traumas and those histories and those generational curses that they feel they're incarcerated by. Want to give people that light bulb moment where change is possible. And not only can you change, but it's actually possible to create a life that you're obsessed waking up to.
I'm here for it. So we're going to start by, how would you define survival mode?
I would, to keep it simple, somebody who's always in fight or flight mode, right? Somebody who they're looking at the world and they're looking at their life with the lens of just surviving the day opposed to thriving in their day. It's people that are looking to see, how can I escape this reality? How can I escape this pain? How can I escape this trauma without harming myself to the best of my ability? You see, I believe, Leticia, that every human being is masking their pain in their own way. Some people use drugs, other people use violence, other people use video games, other people use sex, other people use gambling. When you look at human behavior, their behavior is telling you something. People are in this infatuation of escaping that reality because they just don't have the skill set, the self-esteem, and the mental fortitude to be able to go inward and actually look at what's happening.
I couldn't agree with you more, which is why I started this podcast in the first place, and I said it came from my own experience, not recognizing that I was living from trauma responses for an extended period of time.
Right.
So I wanted to start a podcast and share stories that people can relate to. And then in that connection, the hope is that they seek the help that they need once they realize that help is possible for their circumstances. So, Jeremy, why don't you tell us your story to and through survival mode?
So I was fortunate, like I was telling you prior to the recording, I was fortunate enough to grow up with individuals that didn't have the correct coping skills to be able to manage their life. So my mom and my dad, as loving and as caring as they were, they had so much pain that they've had endured in their life that they've literally created a life of figuring out a way to suppress that internal reality and that past and those past memories. Seeing my mother suppress her reality through her drug of choice, seeing my father suppress his reality through his drug of choice, and seeing how they literally were a punching bag to each other's traumas. It was something that was overwhelming to experience. And then them trying to escape that pain and them trying to give me the best life possible, unfortunately, they spent more time trying to survive their trauma than nurturing their child, right? So I was put in the position where the people that were taking care of me on occasion also had a child, and that child ended up taking advantage of me through molestation from the ages of 2 to 6 years old. And then fast forward, that particular trauma led me. There's two segues that I want to go with this one particular trauma, right? The first segue is that I had a very strong negative emotion towards men that participated sexually with other men, right? I didn't understand that because I'm like, how can I be a homophobe? I love people. How can I be a homophobic? I didn't understand where that came from. And then the second branch to that is that I ended up becoming a sex addict because the years of me being programmed, that my subconscious mind being programmed, sexual activity was a normal thing. So growing up, I became a homophobic, right? In my young years, I became a homophobic, and then I became a sex addict, and I had no idea where that came from. And it wasn't until I did the internal reflection that I understood, oh, the reason why I don't like men to be with other men is because a man abused me in my early years. And then the reason why I'm so heavily involved sexually is because sexual activity was a part of my nurturing when I was in theta. So seeing all of that, experiencing all of that, and then seeing my mother have multiple overdoses in front of my eyes, seeing my mother having to recover from, when they give her the injection for her to come out of that high, and just seeing all of that, it was something for me where, it led me to have massive anger. Because I didn't have an answer for them. And because I didn't have an answer to them, it led me to have a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, and a lot of depression. My mind was being so overworked. And because I didn't have healthy outlets and I didn't have the coping skills to deal with my thoughts and my emotions, I just ended up just having this thought that what if I just end my life, right? So 8th grade, I attempted to take my life the first time, and then I tried to take my life multiple times in high school, and then it carried on to college, and then it carried on to my adult life because I just didn't know what to do. I really didn't know what to do. And having to deal with these thoughts, having to deal with these emotions is one thing. But then on top of that, continuing to see my mom and my dad hurt themselves through their behavior and them trying to mask their pain, that was another thing. And as a child, My ambition always was, how can I make their life better? What can I do to change them? How can I make them? What can I do? I was willing to sacrifice myself and do anything and everything it took so that my parents were happy. But I never had an answer. I mean, I'm talking about to the point where when they would need something, even when I didn't have money, I would go and I would steal just to be able to satisfy their needs to buy them time. I would do whatever it took and I would sacrifice my life and my freedom so that I can give my parents some type of satisfaction to buy them some more time on this earth, and I experienced all of that. And then one of the things that I would have to live with for the rest of my life is that my father, at 57 years old, departed from the world. And like I was mentioning to you earlier, seeing my father go into the hospital on March 1st for falling, and then seeing him slowly but surely lose his lungs, his kidneys, his heart, his mind, and his life, that was one thing. But when I see the man that I love with all of my heart lose the will to live, the will to live, and I can tell that he just mentally and emotionally checked out of life, and I never seen him make the transition into getting a hold of his life and getting a hold of the shame and getting a hold of his purpose. Just seeing that ignited so much more drive than I already did, because there's a lot of people that don't realize they are on the fast lane to that same type of departure. But because they're able to buy themselves time through alcohol, through drug abuse, through sex, through video games, they believe that they're okay. But people that are busy are the people that are gonna have to deal with a storm that's going to feel like a tsunami. Because people think the busier I am, right, the busier I am, the less I have to deal with my internal reality, not realizing that those thoughts and those emotions are accumulating compound interest. And that interest comes with such a price that by the time you have to go and pay that tab, you don't have enough in the account mentally and emotionally to do that.
So much to unpack, and let's start with the thoughts and emotions, right? Because that is the core of who we are and how we operate in life. I've spoken about this on the podcast before that I think a huge part of my healing journey was understanding how much my emotions ruled my actions. I remember I graduated from Georgia State in 2010 is when I graduated after years of delay. And I remember I watched my mom walk into the graduation as we were wrapping up. And I was pissed. I was pissed. Like, it took me 10 years to get to this state, and you missed my graduation. And I remember my auntie pinching me that day and saying, that anger is a choice. And I looked at her even more angrily and be like, what are you talking about? I can say another 10 years later or 15 years later that understanding how much choice I have over my thoughts and e emotions is what helped me move out of survival mode. It helped me move into a place of radical ownership of my life. But it wasn't until I understood the connection between emotions, thoughts, and action that it actually made sense to me. You also spoke about being a child and just wanting happiness for your parents, right? And how their actions, their addiction created a lot of anger for you. I think not so much the part about the addictions, but I think every parent listening or watching needs to realize just how impactful their actions or lack thereof have on their children. And I don't know how old you are, but you are a grown man. And at this stage, I still feel that core desire for you to have your parents just be okay.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I lost one. I still have one left. And one thing that I've learned is you can never change people unless they're ready to change, but you can change how you make them feel. So anytime I talk to my mother before, it would be more, Mom, when are you gonna do this? And when are you gonna do that? And when are you gonna change this? And when are you gonna change that? And I didn't realize that my intentions were in the right place, but the outcome, I ended up driving her deeper down into the shame because I was causing her to reflect on her behavior, which is exactly what she was running away from. So because I'm not responsible for changing my mother. I am responsible for changing how I make her feel. So rather than making her feel ashamed of her behaviors, I make her feel like she's the most important person on this planet. So I tell her, in my eyes, you can do no wrong. In my eyes, you are a queen. In my eyes, I worship the ground that you walk on. And I idolize my mother. And she literally tells me every time we talk, because of your words, I am still alive. And I love on her and I make her feel like she is the most incredible human being on this planet. Because if we go a little bit deeper, I think to myself, man, you know how much effort it takes for you to be battling an addiction, for you to be escaping your pain and still have food on your kids' table, still have clothes on their back, and still have a loving heart. How that for me is courage. That's for me is perseverance. That for me is discipline. Despite me doing this and feeling this, I'm still able to do this for my baby. So, my mother is somebody whom I love dearly. And I want to go back to something that you shared about anger because I had a very similar moment for me. I remember I was a basketball player in high school. And senior night was a very big thing. So my father never attended one basketball game, right? He's never attended any extracurricular activities. He actually despised it. And I think a big reason why he despised it was because it was an outlet that I had that he was never able to create for himself. So subconsciously, he just created resistance towards that outlet. But I remember 60 days prior to my senior night, I'm telling him, Dad, this day, I know that you haven't gone to anything, but this day, I need you here. This day, I need you here. And I was literally doing a countdown. Dad, we got 50 days left. Dad, we got 30 days left. Dad, we have a week left. And I was so hopeful that he was actually going to go and coming through those doors. So I'm warming up. I see my mother walking in through those doors. I didn't see him. So I kind of go to her. I'm like, she goes. And at that point, I genuinely felt so worthless that the spike of anger that I felt at that moment, I could have literally hurt somebody with my bare hands. Because I'm like, man, despite all of this anticipation, despite all of these reminders, you still weren't able to show up. And a lot of people give their children those moments more than they should, and they don't realize why, as their children get older, there's such a disconnect in their relationship.
And resentment,
A 100%.
and you brought up an interesting point. The core of your anger there was that disappointment, right? That abandonment almost. And I think that is often the core of most of us angers, especially if we're experienced trauma. It hasn't been dealt with. We experience something that to someone else seems very slight, and we're like a volcano erupting over something small. But the
Yes.
core of that anger is the hurt, the pain, the questioning of our self-worth, these abandonment that we feel, right? That's often the core of people's angers, especially someone who, as you had described yourself growing up, a very angry person. So you talked about this is where I was, very angry. I was a sex addict. How did we transition now into like mindset coaching? You know, like what triggered your healing and what did that process look like?
So when me and my son's mother broke up, you know, I had certain beliefs around what it was going to be like when you break up with your child's mother, right? The baby mama drama, the child support, all of that was a belief that I had. So I still had all of my past BS. And then on top of that, now I have a son and me and his mother broke up. So now all of these beliefs are surfacing, right? So I was constantly in an internal war with my son's mother mentally. It felt like a fire. So, you know, I had this fond idea that if I can't manage this fire, I either take my life or I take hers. So I had this plan of harming my son's mother because I just didn't know how to manage that transition. So I was outside of her home one day. I had gotten a gallon of gasoline and I was sitting right here. Her home was right there. And I was just waiting for that moment for her to shut off the lights. So that moment came. When she shut off the lights, I said, okay, this is my time to execute the plan. But then I got this thought. You selfish motherfucker. You're gonna take away your son's mother forever because you can't deal with the thoughts of her. How fair is that? And I got very emotional, but I didn't know what to do. So I'm sitting there, I'm pondering, I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? I ended up going on YouTube for the first time ever and looking up how to get rid of negative thoughts. Tony Robbins comes on. I start seeing a video of him. And then I'm like, I start to see another video and another video. And I was outside of her home in tears watching YouTube videos because this idea of law of attraction, of being positive, of changing your life, of manifestation, all of this was so foreign to me. So I just became curious in this information. I'm like, wait, what? I was outside of her home for 2 hours. I ended up leaving. I ended up being up to about 10 in the morning that day. And I just became obsessed with the information, obsessed. And at that point, I didn't know it was personal development. But then as I kept on, learning more and more, I realized that I was personally developing myself. And that's how I got into this, to the point where I started going to conferences, to seminars, and I indulged and I became obsessed with creating a different human being and a different experience on this earth.
That's an amazing story that, like, you gave me goosebumps as you spoke because life could have been a lot different had you
Very.
not, like, completely different. Wow, that's, like, honestly very powerful. When I talk about accident survival mode, I say it happens in three phases. I say self-awareness is the first step. And by what you said, that awareness, like, hey, I'm a selfish motherfucker here trying to take, you know, my child's mother away from him. That's a level of awareness that actually changed your life. You know what I mean? Like in that moment. And then you start seeking a solution to the negative thoughts that you had. The second phase of accident survival mode, I believe, is reinvention. And again, you speak about this as well, right? Like being able to change your thoughts. Sorry, not reinvention. It is reprogramming, being able
Right.
to change your thoughts, being able to shift the narratives that you hold. And some of these narratives you probably held from two when you were violated and molested. And then the third phase I say is reinvention, and you have essentially reinvented yourself from this angry, suicidal sex addict to someone who is now very passionate about helping people and helping people be seen, number one, right? The way you spoke about pouring into your mother made me smile. And I smile from a place of understanding addiction. And, you know, we live in a society that has a big opinion about people who are addicts. And that opinion is usually very negative and usually filled or fueled by ignorance. I married a recovering crack addict. I went through his last relapse with him. And then to see him recover was amazing. However, had I not gone through that, my empathy to addicts would have been a lot different. When I hear
Correct.
people talk about addiction, I now have this understanding that for most addicts, there are three ways out: death, institution, whether that be prison or hospitalization or mental institutions, or recovery. And recovery is a daily choice.
Correct.
So it's not an easy road. And for you to be at a place where to move from that pain that you endured, not even wanting to live, to being able to pour into her, to understand her journey, like that's huge. Like, and I just want to bring attention to that, right? Because at the core of all of us, regardless of the trauma we've experienced, regardless of the circumstances that we've experienced, regardless of the survival identities that we pick up, we are human. And we need to be treated as human. And I say this all the time, the world needs a lot more grace and a lot more compassion because people are out here battling real shit and
Yes.
don't have the tools to navigate. So they do what is best in that moment to calm the thoughts that are inside their head, to silence their pain. And none of us are exempt from it. The only thing that's different is the vices that we use to do so.
Exactly.
And some of us have healthy vices because we were exposed to tools that allowed us to make different decisions. But on the other hand, not everybody had that exposure, and we are just out here doing the best that we can.
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you said that because that's the lens that I look at people with, right? Like right now, when you look at humanity, there's as much information as we have out there, the crave for people overcoming their past is greater than ever. There's just a crave. And you know, you got people that use certain substances, but I think the greatest vice right now is attention. Which is why these social media platforms have become so powerful. They are amazing tools, but people don't realize how much they're addicted to that instant gratification and that dopamine fix that makes them feel validated as a human being. And why is that, right? Why is it that attention is so powerful? Outside of you trying to grow your business as a human being, a lot of people's livelihood is truly dependent on how much attention they can receive on a daily basis from people ex outside of them. So we got six human needs, right? Tony, I learned this from Tony Robbins. We got six human needs. We got the need for certainty, we got the need for uncertainty, but the two needs that this world, when you look at human behavior, the totality of it, this world is following the two needs of, or is seeking the two needs of significance and love. People are desperate. I mean, think about how many reality TV shows around love is that there is. And think about what people are willing to do just to get those likes and those comments to buy them time for their lack of self-esteem. So that's a big reason why the vice of attention is so significant, because significance is a human need. And one of the things that I advocate for, and I've worked with people from that come from Section 8 to multimillionaires. And what's common about most people, the root cause to most people's problem, is a lack of worthiness. A lack of worthiness, and you feeling insignificant. Not I want to go deep, but I want to go slow because I get so animated and passionate about this. When people hear the lack of significant, they can constantly go into a defense mechanism and go, no, but I'm not. I feel worthy. You may consciously feel worthy, but your behaviors are going to show what's happening in your subconscious mind. And unless you created a new emotional home and you intentionally nurtured a self-esteem where you're no longer emotionally dependent on outside validation, unless you've done that process, if you actually study your behavior from the moment that you wake up to the moment that you're going to sleep, you're probably saying, look at me. And it's okay, that's your way of surviving. But my position and mission is, what if we can nurture our self-esteem to the point where we're no longer emotionally dependent on getting anything outside of us? Now the power is in our court. Once the power is in your court, now the partner that you're with, you're no longer gonna settle for. Now, the body that you have, you're no longer gonna settle for. The bank account that you have, you're no longer gonna settle for, right? So I've learned that the lower the self-esteem, the less aware you are. The less aware you are, the less you realize what you're tolerating. The less you realize what you're tolerating, the more you're going to settle for. So I'm like, man, what if we can get to the root? And we do this, and we. So I'm gonna bring you through a quick process, because this is the process that I'm really trying to advocate so that people can truly create a transformation, right? We can either keep putting band-aids on ourselves and keep buying ourselves time, or we could become surgical, go deep into the root, take out that poor soil, put in new seeds, and nurture those seeds. So when I was in this process of trying to change, I didn't realize how little my self-esteem was. I always needed validation. I was so insecure that I would literally persuade people to be in my life and give me their time. That's how crazy it was, right? So I'm like, okay, if I wanted to transform my life and become bulletproof and have this conviction where I really make decisions off logic and not emotion, what would I do? How can I start? And this is for anybody that's listening, and for anybody that's listening live on TikTok. For you to transform your life, you have to understand we have to come to terms with ourselves and accept ourselves. A lot of people say, I can accept myself, but they're willing to accept what's convenient and not what's real. Let's accept the good, the bad, and most importantly, the ugly. Because once you can truly accept every part of you, your skeletons, your traumas, your bullshit, now you're no longer craving for the world to accept you. The world is, this is so the, oh my God, the world is only accepting a perception of you because you're so afraid of judgment that you're only sharing with people what you want them to see and not what's real. So once you're able to be accepted, you're no longer afraid. And when you're no longer afraid, you can build relationships off of real and not need, right? And once you can get to that, now your experience becomes different. So accepting ourselves is the first phase, the good, the bad, the ugly. Now is, how can I learn to respect myself? For me, I had no self-respect. I was willing to give myself up to anybody at any time, and I was willing to persuade other people to engage with me because of how insecure I was. I had no self-respect. So I'm like, okay, self-respect was great, but my perception of self-respect was punching somebody in the face for verbally trying to abuse me or for physically trying to harm me. That's the ignorant lens of what self-respect is. I've then realized self-respect is having the ability and the discipline to say no with no explanation and having a boundary that's no longer negotiable. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's not just about saying no to other people with no explanation. It's about saying no to yourself with no explanation. No, I'm not going to engage in this thought. No, I'm not going to engage in this habit. No, I'm not going to make this decision because I know that in order for me to respect myself, I have to make decisions with logic and not emotion. Watch this. Our emotions are directly tied to our past. So anytime you make a decision with your emotion, you're giving yourself the opportunity to relapse. And this is why self-sabotage happens so frequently.
Boy,
Let me keep going. Let me finish
listen.
this process because this is gonna get
Okay,
deep real quick,
okay.
Leticia. I'm gonna try to wrap up. My goal is whoever's in front of me will never leave the same. That's my standard. Whoever watches me, whether it's for the first time, like these people on TikTok, or whether it's whatever the case may be, like I'm always looking to add real value to the world. So, okay, learning how to say no without negotiating, and then learning a boundary with yourself and with others where it's no longer negotiable. Then is the self-esteem. How do we build the self-esteem? Right? Because this is the root cause to a lot of people's issues. There's three components. The first thing is your self-image. If you see yourself as unworthy, then you're gonna be that. So changing how you see yourself, right? Going from insecure, needing validation to seeing yourself as this powerful motherfucker that's unstoppable. That's a transition. That's a shift in perspective. That's an identity shift. Most people's actions, when you look at their actions, remind them of their identity. So people are trying to change, not changing their identity, which is why it's so easy to relapse again in behavior. So changing your self-image, changing how you feel about yourself, and then changing how you treat yourself. So if I see myself as worthy, if I feel worthy and I treat myself as somebody worthy, what am I? I'm worthy. But most people don't do that because most people aren't taught to put a bunch of band-aids, right? So a lot of people, again, when you lack self-esteem, it's gonna create a complete domino effect to all of the areas of your life. So that's that, right? So how you see yourself, how you feel about yourself, and how you treat yourself. And then self-care. Self-care is what you're doing with the outside. Like what's your hygiene like? Like how do you really treat the outside, right? Because if you treat yourself properly internally and then you treat yourself properly externally, you're gonna feel so good about yourself that you're gonna feel great. The problem is that a lot of people focus on self-care. They try to decorate the exterior because the more prettier the exterior is, the less people will see how insecure they are in the inside. So that behavior with this world of BBLs and having to put on this makeup and these lashes, all of that really boils down to the better I look on the outside, the less people will see me on the inside. So now if you're able to do that, right? If you're able to go from not only are you working on the inside first, but then you're complimenting it with the outside. Now the outside is just a standard and not a band-aid. So that's self-care, self-love. How many people don't talk about self-love, and how many people don't have a wrong impression of what self-love is? A lot of people confuse self-love, self-care, and self-esteem. We know what self-esteem is. We know what self-care is. Self-love, Leticia, is having the discipline to protect the relationship between your thoughts and your emotions. Because the only thing that can cause suffering is your thoughts and your emotions. The only thing that can cause success is your thoughts and your emotions. A thought is never good or bad. Your perception of the thought is going to make that thought good or bad. That perception is going to lead to an emotion, and then the emotion is going to affect the thinking. That's why every time you think something and you feel something, you go at 100 miles an hour, which is the rat race that people are always looking to escape because of how much the emotion impacts the thinking. So you really implement self-love, and then you make a different choice that you made yesterday. That's going to lead you to feeling good by default. You do that. Then you build your confidence up. All confidence is being willing to do despite how you feel, right? This podcast, I get the adrenaline, I get the nerves, But I still do. So the more you show up for yourself, despite how you feel, the more confidence you have. And all confidence is you knowing that you can trust yourself no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter the challenge. So let's recap real quick, right? So if we learn how to accept ourselves, if we learn how to respect ourselves, if we learn how to build our self-esteem, if we learn how to nurture our self-care, if we learn how to have the discipline with our self-love, and then we have the confidence by doing what's hard consistently, you do all of that, the fear of judgment no longer exists. Once the fear of judgment no longer exists, now you're putting yourself in a promising position to live life with purpose and meaning because you're gonna do what you're meant to do rather than doing what you're reacting to do based on your upbringing.
Listen, you took us to church.
I'm
You took
sorry
us
that
to
I'm
church.
sorry that I get so animated. I just don't know how to
No,
not.
I love the passion because I am the same. I'm telling you, I am the same when I get
Oh,
down
sort
to
of
it
bullet.
because I know I see. But no, but this is listen, guys, we have a passion to help you change your life. This is why we have these platforms. This is why we show up. And it's not coming from a place of let me preach to you. It comes from a place of lived experience. We have been there. I was in survival mode for 20 years plus. I've been there, and I want to see something different for other people because I know how hard it is to, first of all, take control of our emotions, to be able to think that we deserve more. It's a whole journey, but I want to encourage you that you can do it. Like, you can do it. And when I see someone getting as passionate as me, I get excited because it comes down to we are all human, we are all equal, and we all deserve the world. And the only way that we can get it is when we take radical ownership of our lives. We put down that victimhood. We put down this survival identities, and we get real with ourselves and take the necessary actions and do the necessary work to
Yes.
align ourselves with our purpose and really be impactful. So, oh, Jeremy, I really enjoyed this conversation. Tell us how we can find you online.
So, the first way is through email, inspiredbyunity@gmail.com. This is for anybody that is hearing this for the first time, hearing me for the first time, they're like, whoa. Whoa, like I need another dose of this, or I need more, or I got questions. I want to offer your guests a complimentary growth call. I do one-on-one private coaching where I give people the skill set, the mindset, the belief system, and the reprogramming of the subconscious mind to create a human being that they're ultimately proud of. So the email is the first, the phone number is the second. My actual phone number is 413-459-5554. I give people my direct number because, again, I am a human being just practicing my purpose. And if we're meant to connect and we're in frequency, then it's gonna happen. And I wouldn't want to minimize the opportunity to do so. Then we have my platform, my social media platforms, Inspired by Unity in all platforms: Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter. All of it is Inspired by Unity, but. Yeah, listen, for anybody listening, again, as you can see, I'm very passionate about this because I truly believe that on this earth, to be that transparent, real, raw, vulnerable human being that's not afraid of judgment, to liberate people from so much. And it's a role that God has given me that I do not take for granted. And I just want to take people's human experience to another level before they expire on this earth.
I love it. So all those details will definitely be in the show notes. Jeremy, one last takeaway before we wrap it all up. Something that they can action today.
For sure. So I'm going to give you a four-step process in less than a minute on how to start constructing the proper mental health, because I believe that if you can deal with your thoughts and your emotions, it can lead to freedom, right? So, a lot of people that struggle with those thoughts, that struggle with those emotions, they just don't know what to do. I have a four-step process. It's very simple. The first thing that you're going to do is you're going to confront your thought. Confront it. The thought is yours. You're not the thoughts. The thoughts is yours, right? And you can decide on confronting that thought. Then identify what's the emotion that's showing up. What's the emotion? If we can identify the thought, we can identify the emotion. We process the emotion, and then we ask ourselves, is this in our control or out of our control? And if it's in our control, take massive action. If it's out of our control, leave it alone. And then whatever energy is left over, you're redirecting it to something that's in your control. So I'll give you an example so that we can close out. The thought of my father passing was a real thought. It actually happened, right? The emotions that showed up was anger and sadness. I intentionally allowed myself to feel the anger. I intentionally allowed myself to feel the sadness. Once I did that, I confronted the thought, which was my father. I identified the emotion, which was anger and sadness. I processed the emotion, which is the anger and the sadness. Then I took whatever energy was left over and I applied it to my mission. Because suffering in vain is worthless. Suffer with a purpose. So it's like, if I'm gonna feel these emotions, because we're gonna feel negative emotions no matter what, take those emotions and apply it to something positive, and you can revolutionize the way you change your life. 4 steps: confront the thought, identify the emotion, process the emotion, redirect the energy, go out there and execute, and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
The rest of your life, the best of your life. I love it. Thank you so much for joining Survival Mode Disrupted today. And audience, I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracks something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.